Blog Talk Radio.
Nutrition company that I'm also part of called Total Life Changes. You know, where our main product is a detox tea that helps the body. See, a lot of times we eat and there's a pollution that gets in our body. We need detoxification in our body, which we understand is the temple. And to help it keep going and fight the germs on the outside, this allows us a healthy tea that helps you allow herbal, that helps you clean out the inside.
Okay, we want to add that. I act like I didn't stop through your bio, so I want to make sure we get that across. My next guest, she's a devoted mom, two adult daughters, a grandmother, three beautiful grandchildren, and a spiritual mother to dozens in the body of Christ. As a realtor for almost 20 years, she's helped countless ministries secure operating facilities. She's a member of the President's Prayer Team, Christians United for Israel, and prayer partner to three Georgia House of Representatives and two senators. As an ordained and licensed minister, minister. She has served as senior pastor and as a national and international facilitator. She has led numerous of Christ people to Christ through street ministry, as well as assisting several churches and youth ministries to fulfill their purpose. She is one of the founding directors of Families of Victory. In his service, her love for children and love for families transitioning during divorce led her to become a court-appointed special advocate for children, giving hope to suffering humanity through public relations, radio broadcasts, missionary, intercessory, prayer leader, minister, teacher, evangelist, and assistant pastor. She makes a mark for the better that cannot be erased in the lives of everyone she meets. She's a businesswoman. She's a minister. She wears so many hats. The amazing Mrs. Shannon Stafford. So glad to have you here tonight.
Thank you so much. It is such a joy to be online tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, come on, let's hear it for our guest in the Lion's Den tonight. Come on, come on now. That was pretty good. Y'all some tremendous people. So, listen, we want to get on. We thank you for all our listeners that are joining us online, in the studio, and across the world tonight. So, we're going to jump right into it. We're going to start with you, Mr. Stafford. How would you describe your life and, let's say, life in general?
Oh, wow. Okay. My life, I guess I would describe it as blessed.
Okay.
I am really, really blessed, even thinking about from way back when my mom would tell me the things that came up against me and how I overcame them day by day. And my nickname is Molly. I'm unsinkable. That's what she called me. You know? I am unsinkable. I get knocked down, but I get back up and go at it again. So I would say my life is blessed. Living is a blessing. Every day that we are alive, I feel like I'm alive day by day, that I have an opportunity to serve God and be the hands of God in the earth. So I would say that he have us here for a purpose, and once we find our purpose, then we get busy living it, you know.
Right.
And I think the more you be more fulfilled than you can ever imagine once you find out the purpose of why you are alive.
All right, Ms. Stafford, Molly, I like that. Okay. Let's go to Mr. Reed. How would you describe life and life in general, Big Brother?
Well, that young lady just hit the nail on the head, so I'll just say ditto, but, I won't stop there. We learn life is what you make it, and she hit that key point about purpose. We were all put here for a purpose, and if we just discover that one purpose, my goodness, then life begins to be lived because you're living out a purpose. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that more abundantly. So he understood his purpose. And if we can just get a glimpse of our purpose and follow that path, my goodness.
Man, that's powerful. See, because for a long time before I met the Lord, I was like a little orphan Annie. It was a hard knock life for us, you know. And after salvation, I said, wait a minute, it's a hard knock life. But then I had to understand the way of the transgressor is hard.
Mm.
Once you accept who he really is and he begins to put you on that pathway to purpose, just like y'all said, it's a beautiful way to live. Let's go to Mr. Reed. How would you compare life to a business? Because you both are business owners and operators, so maybe you could juxtapose the two. How would you compare life to a business?
Actually, they're one and the same, because the effort that you put into living life and the effort that you would put into a business, it has to be on purpose. If you get up every morning and you wake up and you go to that job, you're on purpose. You know, you go to that job and you know exactly what you have to do once you get to that job. Same thing with a business or your business. You know, every morning what you have to do to be successful at that business. And it's all about, at the end of the day, of course, making money. So if you want a lot of money, you'll create a lot of business for yourself. And I mean, it's chance for excitement and life and live. I mean, you're the pace setter in your own business. Now, the job, you do what you're told to do, and you know, you get a little too happy, they may calm you down. But in your own business, you have that freedom to be as excited as you want, and that draws people.
man, I like how you put that. You know what needs to be done. Because I have to tell myself, sometimes we're looking for answers, but you already have them. You already know the answers, you know. You're waiting for somebody to say this and say that, but you already know what you need to be doing. Powerful, my brother. Molly, Miss Steph, how would you compare life to a business? I like that, Molly.
I like how you threw that in there. I think that's awesome. When he, you know, when you asked earlier about my life and I said blessed, when you break that word down, it means to empower. You're empowered to prosper. And I agree with the man of God. He just said, you know, it pretty much go hand in hand. You really can't separate it because, you know, the way you manage your business is a direct reflection of how you manage and live your life. If your life is chaotic, your business is going to be chaotic as well. You know, the same goes for if your life is organized and focused and on point, which we know sometimes it gets on and off or what have you. But for the most part, that foundation, like he said earlier, you know, Jesus knew the purpose. He came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. So in your business, the same way, you know, you have to have purpose. And for me, I would say that, you know, it's one and the same. And you have to know your vision. You have to know your purpose. And you have to be on point with it.
You know what? You hit something. You said empowered to prosper.
Mm-hmm,
you know, do you feel that's the truth? Or, you know, some people won't answer certain questions.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You know what? But that's the truth, you know. Some people don't. I love, that's my favorite quote. I just have to throw it in. But some people, when you said empowered to prosper, I think that's something that we need to know because a poverty mindset and seeing poverty around us and then having struggles and setbacks. Can you both touch on that for a minute? Being empowered or being empowered to prosper or having an attitude whereby you go about your mindset that I'm empowered to prosper.
I would say that it is an absolute truth. As for me, you know, and it should be once one come into the knowledge, you know, of their purpose, you know, again, back to that scripture that the man of God used, it came that we would have life and have it more abundantly, and then who's doing the empowering, who's, you know, and what are you empowered to do? So, again, you go back to that, my life, who I am. I'm blessed, and I'm blessed to be a blessing, which means when you break it down, I am empowered to empower others to prosper. So it isn't for me, and I believe for everybody that come into the knowledge of why they are here, whatever entity they're serving in, they are empowered to prosper, not to fail, but to prosper. That's when you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know that you know when nobody else can't tell you what you don't know. So, yeah, it's an absolute truth for me.
Amen. Mr. CEO?
Once again, the same. But I as we get older and as we learn, you know, when you know better, you do better. And that's part of living life. And that's the same thing as in business. They're roadmaps, but everybody still has a different path. I'm reminded of the story in the Bible where they were of one mind, and they were going to build a tower. And God came down to see and said, oh, no, we're not having that. But the people were one mind, and anything they put their mind to do, they could achieve. So even when they separated, it was a curse that they were separated, but they had sense enough to find somebody who was speaking their language.
Okay.
And they all went on. So I'm learning in life, you have to find out, and even in business, who's speaking my language, Rosetta Stone. You know, who's going to speak my language? Who's speaking what I'm saying? Then we can kind of go on faster than somebody having explained each situation. So in your life, you got to know where you're going, and as you link up with others, they got to be saying the same thing for success.
But that's powerful. We got to take a break. I'm thanking God for all you Floridians and you Philadelphians and you Georgians and you Africans and you Asians and everybody who's on tonight around the world in the United States. Glad you're here. Listen, y'all hold on tight. We'll be right back.
Hello. My name is Minister Lloyd Bell Jr., CEO of We Inspire Network Radio.
God bless you, and I am Minister Annie Bell, the COO of We Inspire Network Radio. We had you, our listeners, in mind when we created We Inspire Network Radio, or as we like to call it, WIN Radio.
We incorporated your thoughts and opinions to ensure that our programming will embody true inspiration.
And we will continue to bring relevant and heartfelt shows that cater to the needs and wants of our growing listener base.
Please, subscribe to our network so that you can stay connected.
Join us here every week,
where together, through God, we win.
We are back. I'm Apostle Solomon, and you know we sprint from the lion's den. We're powered by We Inspire Network Radio. We're having a great time. We're talking about the business of living life, not just existing, not just going from day to day, not knowing where you're going like a ship without a rudder, but having a purpose and understand. So we're going to keep on going. My panelists, this is a – I don't want nobody to get stoned on this one, so – you know, you might can walk delicately. I want to know, because some people will fight you down on this one. Is God in control, or does he allow us to decide what is best for our lives? I'm going to let you go with that one first, Mr. Reed.
Wow. Thank you, I guess. yes. The technical answer, yes, God is in control, no doubt. The moon, the sun, the rise, the tides, they're all in his control. But when God said he created man in his own image and after his likeness, what separates us from the other animals, per se, is free will. So that's something he gave us, because when we raise our hands to worship and praise him, he wanted it to be of our own accord, not being made as the angel. The angel had no choice but to worship him. They were created for that purpose. But he wanted a being that would worship him on their own. So, yes, we have free will. That's why it's so important to stay in tune, to be in tune, to find that purpose that he did create you for, though. And then that purpose, I believe, is your wealth. Now, but what God will allow you to do other things, because you are a free will being, so you can still be in business, but not in the business he wants you to be in.
Okay.
And you got to discern that. You have to kind of tweak that to find out, okay, I'm in business, I'm making money, I'm doing well. And some will say, oh, you're blessed, you're prosperous, God is pleased. But at the same time, you'll know in that inner voice, it's like, yeah, but I'd rather have you doing this. I created you to do this. So that's what I'm learning. So yes, God is in control for all my theologians and my pastors and my bishops out there. You know, yes, God is in control, but he has given us free will to seek out.
Okay.
That was who created us to be.
Okay, very good. Ms. Stafford, do you want to tackle that question?
That is awesome. I'm in agreement with the man of God. I also firmly believe that God is always in control. However, he allows us freedom of choice to make our own decisions. We're free mortal agents. He could have easily forced us to serve or worship him, but he didn't, and because he wants us to, just think about it, he wants us to love him by choice. Who wants to be made to love, you know, and made to serve, you know? He didn't force us to serve him. He isn't going to force us to do anything else. I don't believe that. I believe God is a gentleman, and, you know, I really do. So I also think he's just like in the Bible, he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He give you a choice, and then he tell you, you know, but if you want life, choose me, you know.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a gentleman over there saying, hey, choose me, you know. And so I do. I believe he's always in control. However, he gives us a choice to do what we would like to do. We could follow him or, you know, follow our own wisdom.
yeah, we can go our own way, or we can do what he chose us. That's powerful. I always liked in the Bible when Israel wanted the king, and that was not what God wanted for them. But he allowed them to have it. He said, that's what you want, okay? Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all did real good with that one. I think some of the coaches and guys, you know, Pentecostals, they ain't going to stone you this time. You know? we're going to leave that there. What I want to know next is, what is your why? Is it up in the morning? Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it important to have one of those in our lives, Molly?
Okay. I definitely think it's important to have a why. And it goes hand in hand with the original question. The first one, you know, goes with the purpose. And so I live to serve God. And why is to be a light in dark places. Regardless of where life takes me, in any arena, you know, in this business world, outside of the church walls, we can end up anywhere. But no matter where I am, whether it's in the entertainment industry, whether it's in the jail system, the judicial system, whether it's in real estate or whatever, I am that light that might be in a dark place. And so that is my why. And I think it's important to have a why, because you need to know your identity. What are you doing? Why are you there? What's really going on? Thought you'd just be going in a maze, you know. And God put a calling on my life at an early age. And I'm really grateful that he allowed my understanding to be enlightened to know not only who I am, but whose I am and why I'm here. So I do think it's important.
Amen. I am too. Well, I know I only have to ask my big brother's question. He said you should have a what, when, where, how, to what extent. We'll go ahead with the question. big brother, what is your why for living? And is it important that people have a why?
As the sister said, you know, you got to have that reason why. My children are shuddering because they would get to who, what, where, when, and why. When I started with my questions, it was a barrage after that. And then the why is that they, oh, my God, why? Exactly. And if you can't answer why, then you really, what are you doing? You're truly, I'm learning. If you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, and I'll say this, right, wrong, or indifferent, at least know why you're doing it. My son had got in trouble, and he came with that. I said, who is that? I'm not feeding that. I'm not clothing that. You know, right. So after I gave him a responsibility check, you know, he understood. Take on the responsibility as to why you did what you did, and I can handle that better. Not because of that, because they'll lead you in a bad place, you know. So when you have your why, even as an adult, you need that why. Even if it's a job you don't like, you got to understand why you still go every day and why you can't get fired and why I can't run a red light and why I can't go to jail because, you know, you got people depending on you. You got people counting on you who need you. And that's why you just can't do anything you think you want to do because other people are depending on you and counting on you to know why you do what you do.
Man, I could write a book off for just what you do. Well, you know what? I think I will. But anyway, let's move on.
I know you will. Can I get it in the forward at least? Can I get in the forward in this one?
Can I get mentioned in the acknowledges preference? Okay. This is something that I was thinking about. You know, I've been working out here lately, getting my walk on, and I've been listening to people talk about one thing Dr. Cindy Trim said. She said, maybe it's not what you're going through, it's who you are. You see what I'm saying? Because some people have a repeat of cycles and circumstances in their lives. And like I said earlier about when you mentioned the they, you know, it's their fault or what did they do? My next question is, when would you say it's time to make a change? And what is the process for changing yourself? But I have to ask some of the signs. Let's look at that first. When would you say you need to change? I know every individual is different, but what's the archetype that, hey, I need to change some things? What would you say? Whoever wants to jump on that first, go ahead.
Ladies first.
Okay, for me, you know, if you listen to God, really spend time in relationship, you have to talk to each other, you know, and a lot of times we talk, but we don't listen. And so sometimes when we pause and don't be so busy about this purpose in life and don't forget the Creator, you know, to find out, Lord, am I on the right track? Are we done yet? And I really do this a lot. I have to have signs because even when I'm in situations where I'm normally may not be and I know that it's an assignment for me, I need him with me every step of the way, and I need him to let me know, okay, God, is this it? Am I supposed to be here? And he never fail. He'll send a special color bird that he know me and him only know about. You know, he'll send certain things, or just like in the Old Testament, a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of fire by night. You know, so if you talk to God and he talks to you, and you listen, then he'll let you know. And when you don't, then sometimes situations get so uncomfortable, then you are forced to make the change. I used to tell my girls all the time, you better change on life before life change on you. And a lot of times when you're making certain decisions and you know that, hey, I didn't get, you know, I didn't seek first, I didn't ask first, I didn't acknowledge first, I just did this on my own. A lot of times you'll know when all of a sudden you look up and this ain't where you want to be, but you're not, you're never by yourself. You see what I'm saying? But he'll allow uncomfortable situations to force you to change. But my process mostly involves prayer. I spend, you know, a little time seeking God so that I can hear him and know and match it up with the word, because that's your mirror, regardless of how much your body, your flesh want to do and not do, just match it up with the word, because a lot of times we want to give, even in some situations when God say don't give. We bless people that God won't even bless himself. You know? So once I hear from him, I know without a shadow of a doubt that he'll order my steps. So.
All right.
That's it.
I like how you were talking about prayer. Some people would say, well, I prayed today, but we don't have many people say, I listened to God today. You know?
I'm going to write a book on that right there.
Well, I thought that was deep. Well, let's go with you, Big Brother. What would you say? When will you say it's time to make a change, when people need to recognize it's time to change?
Hey, man, well, I'm glad she went first, because she just covered it all. I'm excited.
But I'm
going to go old school and just say, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know? That you know, when the prodigal son, the Bible says he came to himself.
Wait, he came to himself. Oh, I had to jump in there.
That's all right. He had the high life, you know, and then got started experience that low life. And what I liked about him, he said he didn't want to go right back to the high life because he knew he didn't deserve it. Because the way he acted, sometimes we don't want to be, you know, in trouble for the way we act. When we ask the way, there's something going to come with that, whether we like it or not. And he was man enough to say, hey, I just want to go back home. I don't have to be the same. I just want to go back where I know even the services can be better than what I'm doing. So, yeah, so when he got sick and tired of being sick and tired, he made that change within himself. And what it was, he humbled himself.
That's it. He did it.
He humbled himself on his own. Them circumstances, they humbled him. He could have said, "Well, you know what? My dad know where I'm at. He can come get me. He know where I'm at. He rich. He could tell somebody he ain't right. Daddy ain't right for not coming to get me, even though I asked for all my money and took it and spun it and splurged it and blew it. He ain't right." So he was a man about it. Came to himself and went back home and humbled himself. But even in that story, I still say the father was the star of that story, because he received him and took him back and put him back in status. So all those fathers out there, come on, you're doing the right thing. Hang in there. I'm sorry about that little sidebar.
That was a good shout-out.
You know, Father Day coming up. I want to bless the father. Come on, man. It ain't easy. Come on. It ain't easy.
We're gonna go to the break.
It ain't easy. I'm gonna run. You better take me off. It ain't easy.
Look, preacher man, it might not be easy, but it's worth it, right? That's what you're saying.
No, I'm gonna say, it's worth it all.
Right?
Let me
Thank you.
Listen,
we're gonna go to the break.
Have you priced commercials lately? Advertising can truly break your budget. At Win, we eliminate the most common hurdle to advertising. Advertise with Win to reach potential customers locally, nationally, and internationally for as low as $150. Yes, that's right,
$150 per commercial. We Inspire Network Radio is a new and rapidly growing online radio network that boasts of dynamic seasoned show hosts who are drawing audiences from across the nation and abroad. Africa, Australia, Scotland, Canada, just to name a few. We also have the technical capabilities to advertise your products and services through sound bites, slideshows, and more. No long-term contracts. You pay per show. Advertise on WIN, and you are sure to be a winner. For more information, call us 201-477-0469. Email Annie Bell at wealthmanagement-fs.org.
We are back. You're tuning in to Stripping from the Lion's Den. We are powered by We Inspire Network Radio. Shout out to the CEO, BJ, and the COO, Annie. We just thank God for you, too. Keep doing what you're doing, and we're going to keep moving forward. All right, tonight in the Lion's Den, we have Mr. CEO, Prophet Philip Reed, Sr., and Evangelist Shannon Stafford, and we're talking about the business of living life. Everybody doing all right?
Doing all right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, to my listeners, I hope I didn't scare y'all. That was me talking directly to you, so I hope I didn't scare you during the break. So, but listen, we're going to move on with the show. I hope you're being inspired and blessed and touched because I mean, we're laughing, we're having a good time, but they're bringing some very insightful wisdom.
You know, I love the Bahamas now.
Me too.
But no, I think that what I do personally is I spend time a lot of time in prayer. And when I say prayer, I mean talking to God, but also allowing him to talk to me. So, and I talk out loud, and then I allow my Holy Ghost to talk back to me out loud. So, and I take notes, and I write down what I believe the direction that God is taking me in any given situation, whether it's the beginning of an assignment, coming to the end of another assignment, you know, starting a new assignment, or just anything, you know, I write it down and I get the points and I pray over it. And another thing I do is I take communion over decisions that I make because communion to me means that it's settled. The issue is settled. So once I feel that I have heard from God, I know not only pray, write it down so that I know along the way on the assignment exactly what he said, I take communion over it and settle the issue, you know, any thoughts, any fears, any doubts or what have you, that this is what we are going to do, meaning me, my staff, me, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus. This is where we're going. This is where we're headed. And then I do one other thing. I sow a seed. I take a certain amount of money, and I plant it in the ministry, not just the church that I go to. If I'm on assignment somewhere else or, you know, whatever, I'll find a ministry that might be doing, let's say my girlfriend had just wrote a book. Congratulations, Lady Lisa. So if I am having an assignment to write a book, not only do I get before God, write it down, get the understanding, take communion over it, I go and find somebody like Lady Lisa, and I sow the seed. And not only buy the book, but buy books with an S, and then sow a financial seed into it, I believe matching your prayers with your money and sowing into whatever the vision or the assignment that you have, wherever you're headed, no matter what the arena is, small, large, or what have you. That's the process that I sow. Prayer, supplication before God, taking notes, communion, and sowing a financial seed. That's what I do.
That's powerful. I enjoyed every bit of that. I think we have to talk some more about your book because I see it on the horizon. So I think I want to be a part of that. Mr. Reed, what's your process when you begin to change? You know how the butterfly goes into the cocoon, the snake sheds its skin, the eagle allegedly does what they say he does. What's your process?
Well, along with, of course, what the minister said, she's just so much on point. They took it to a whole nother level with that communion. That's a whole nother level.
It is, right? It really is.
That's a whole nother level.
It took me back to the old days of fasting with burlap sacks. You know?
Come on, man. That's old. Face being lit up. We might have a vegetarian service. You see how he moved yet? You see how he said that yet? That kind of settle in. That's real. But amen with that. But then with that, after that process, you can float. But no. I've just learned when you come into yourself, you have to forgive yourself. You know, you got to be real with yourself. You got to look in that mirror. And I found out I have a habit. When I do something, I call my name. And if I drop something, I do something, I'm like, Philip. And it was brought out to me. I didn't even realize it myself.
Okay.
And that's just dealing with myself. Like, I can't blame nobody else. That was you by yourself, you know. And I just learned to deal with myself because a lot of people don't, you know, a lot of people can't even look in the mirror at themselves.
So true.
You know, that's a hard task for some people because they don't like what they see. So you got to learn to forgive yourself as God has forgiven you. When you ask for forgiveness and God has forgiven you, forgive yourself. You made a mistake. You made an error. And I don't care how many times you made the mistake. I don't care how many times you made the error. I've been in several network marketing companies, and people say, well, how many more are you going to be in? Well, how many more is it going to take to get me off that job?
Okay.
Hello. So I'll keep plugging as you know, you keep trying other jobs. I'll keep trying other businesses and other
companies. All right.
Because when you lose that job, what do you begin to fill out? A resume, don't you? We call it resume. You're going to find another job. You're going to pull that resume out and you're going to resume and look for another job. Be it your fault they fired you or they laid you off. Either way, you're going to move on. And that's what you have to do. You have to be able to move on, get that mindset, dig in deep, and move forward, and forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That just segues us right into the next question. Can you speak to the need that most of us increase our entrepreneurial spirit? You know, if you're on your job and you're happy, that's one thing. But if you're on a job and you're miserable Monday, that Wednesdays, and you know, it just goes on, and you don't even want to be there yourself, and you're making everybody else miserable. Can you speak to that need that more of us increase our entrepreneurial spirit or that pioneering spirit to go after what suits you in life and not just settling for where you are, you know? Because you hit it with that. You pull out that resume. You resume on the same pattern instead of breaking that yoke, breaking that cycle and saying, what does God want for my life? I'm just gonna pick up and go get another job here, another job there. But what if God wants me on a different path, you know? Mm-hmm. If you can speak to that entrepreneur, that pioneering spirit.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like what you said. Bottom line, it goes back to where would God have you to be? And you know what he would have you to be doing. Again, it goes to seeking him and knowing the purpose in your life and how you fit in. And according to this question, you know, in the past, we were taught that, you know, you go to school, you do well, you graduate, and you try to get a good job working at a good company so that you can be financial stable. And, you know, times have changed, and companies don't invest in their employees like they used to.
That's right.
You know, it used to be that companies saw the employee as an asset and focused on developing the relationship with them. But now, because the world has become smaller, you know, due to easy accessibility and technology, Facebook, and all of that other stuff, you know, there's more options out there available to these companies and individuals. So, you know, I think we should teach our children to value themselves and their contributions and what they bring to the table. I don't believe that it's really wise. You know, yeah, go to school, graduate, you know, but also find out what you have. It's no longer wise to spend years giving your knowledge and talent to a company and, you know, toward making the executives rich instead of empowering yourself to prosper and to be wealthy so that you can reach back and do and give where God allows you to give and instructs you to give and invest in themselves and, you know, use the investment to help the community. And, you know, I really believe that. That's the way you are blessed to be a blessing, not just having enough for me, myself, and I, but having enough to be able to be a blessing and empower somebody else to prosper. If, you know, somebody homeless, they don't want to hear nothing about Jesus, you know, loves me, but I got to go back over here. What about, you know, why I don't have a house to put them in or shelter to put them in or food to give them when they're hungry, shoes to put on them? If you don't have enough, then you cannot bless other people. And that's why I really think it's important to make sure that you live under that open heaven. Be on point, and you're going to miss it sometimes, like the preacher man said earlier, but don't be so hard on yourself. Now there's no condemnation. You know, get on up, shake it off, come back to yourself, and don't be so hard on yourself and get back where you're supposed to be and live under that open heaven and continue to grow so that you can not only be a blessing to yourself, your family, but also those that you come in contact with.
Okay. Preacher man, I mean, jump in here. I know you can go on that
like
entrepreneurial spirit,
man. Let it rip. Wow. But as she said, purpose. I keep hearing purpose. Once you find your purpose, or we call in the world your niche. Once you find that niche, that thing that you like to do, and you don't even have to get paid to do it. That is where your wealth is. That. So if you can draw, you can draw blindfolded and draw something wonderful, then why in the world are you sitting in a factory, you know, sewing clothes when you yourself can sew and stitch? You yourself can. You know, when you yourself can, then nobody say quit the job. Everybody calm down.
That's right.
I ain't saying nobody quit their job. I ain't saying that. I'm
it's
not saying
number,
that at all.
Number is 813. No. Go ahead.
They pick their stones up. Calm down. I'm not saying. But set a date. Have the courage to set a date. And whether you make it or not, have the courage to set a date. It's free to set a date. That's all. Set a date. Say, by the end of this year, I'm going to start my own business. At the end of this year, I'm going to venture out and do what I've been wanting to do all my life. And guess what? The jobs are out there. They're not going anywhere. They're always going to need somebody to say paper or plastic, water or wine. They're always going to need somebody to serve. But God didn't create us to all serve. You know, for those who go after it, they'll be the ones who will say, hey, I'll have water instead of wine. Those who choose to take the chance, to take the risk, to let go of the side. See, we talk about Peter walking on water, but guess what? Out of the 12, he was the only one. Yeah, he had a little setback, but he said, Master, if it's you, bid me to come. And he said, come. So Peter, the only one record today besides Jesus who walked on water. Call it what you want. We got to be willing to step out and try that business. So I'll say this as a little pitch. When somebody offer you an opportunity, don't call it a scam. Don't look at the person who you know as a friend or family member and say, hey, that's a scam, because we don't do scams. But we just do opportunity. Now, that job is a scam. It tells you when you can come, when you can leave. You know, hey, say, I'm feeling good on Saturday. Can I come in? Oh, no, we don't need you. you know, that's the scam.
Mr. Reed, hold on for 1 minute. I want to reset for a minute. Listen, I'm Apostle John L. Stoughton. You're tuning in to Strength from the Lion's Den, and we're powered by We Inspired Network Radio. Tonight, I'm talking with Mr. Philip Reed and Mr. Shannon Stafford, and we're talking about the business of living life, and that's exactly what Mr. Reed is talking about. You living in a scam versus you living in your purpose. Go ahead, man. Go ahead and continue. Finish that.
Well, amen. But that was about it. It's just, I've been in it long enough. But yes, I'll try and I'll keep plugging. Yes, I have a job, but I also have a business. So it's the balance. And sometimes the job wear me out. Well, I don't want to go do my business. But guess what? I do my business anyway, because one day, come on here, I'm going to say I am fully self-employed. So if I'm doing two or three things on my own, I heard somebody say, I'd rather make $50,000 on my own than $75,000 working for somebody else. We got to get that sense of urgency for ourselves to live life. And the true cost of that, but the price of it, is freedom.
That's right.
Get up when you want to get up. Go when you want to go. We all like the Bahamas. Come on here. Okay. Do our week vacation line up? Do our week vacation line up with the job? And does the job allow you to go?
But Reed, you want to go to Bahamas? They want to let you off though.
Come on, I'm about to quit. See, now you got me quitting again. I'm about to quit. Every time I clock out, I said I quit. I'll be back tomorrow, but I quit when I clock out. I just want to say it. You got to say it. I quit. You know, get your president spirit on this one. You're fired. Fire your job. Come on here. All right, that's it. I'm on my pedal, so that's it. Thank you.
All right. They try to tell you how to boss up for real and experience freedom in life by tapping into your purpose. What do you think holds most people back from conducting business the way they need to operate and have their best life? Is it fear, laziness, setbacks, past failures, lack of vision? What would you say, Ms. Apple?
I would say all of it for some people, but for me, I had to identify fear. I thought I was, you know, fearless, but you get out there and, you know, my folks just convinced us that we were just unstoppable. You know, I just grew up just really sheltered and loved by mom and dad and brothers. You know, I had the, you know, awesome opportunity to be validated by the men that were in my life. So, but when you get out there in the world, it's a little different. So, you know, it is. And so I would say fear, you know, it can be debilitating. And most people end up regretting that they didn't even try, you know. So the only real failure is when you don't try. At least make one good real attempt. Like man of God said, don't quit your job. But I would say this part too, use that job as a seed. Sow a seed when you got a need in the area of your own business. And treat yourself better than you treat somebody else's. Or, do right on your job, but also do right in the job that God gives you in your business, because it is his business.
Wow, man. Big brother, what holds most people back from conducting business?
I'll say all of the above, but I do believe fear. As you said, fear is an acronym. False evidence appears real. You know, and in that, you know, they give all the reasons why it won't work instead of a reason why it will work. And all you need is one reason why it will work. Even if it's he did it, I know I can do it. That guy can do it. You say it's never remarkable. That guy can do it. I know I can do it, you know. But then when rubber meets road, I think it's just a long road of we think of quick get-rich-quick schemes, and we think of hitting the lottery, and we think of that quick way of obtaining money. But that's just not the way the system is made. It's just not set up that way. You know, it's really not. But it is, you know, you earn what you keep, you know. You work for it. There's nothing wrong with hard labor as long as you start to labor for yourself and stop laboring in somebody else's vineyard that once as a seed, but it's okay to spend more time in your own. And I think that's the problem we have. We can go serve that job and give them all we got. And then when we get home, we just too wore out or we're comfortable, and that's the enemy, I believe, of any greatness is being comfortable. Well, yeah, you're making $50,000, you're making $60,000. But just imagine what the owner's making.
You know,
$60 million, $70 million, and you're doing okay with $60,000, and when you're sneezing at $60,000. But at the same time, how about that when you want to take that time off with your family? Somebody gets sick, and you want to stay home with them. You know, mothers used to always have the privilege of staying home because that's how it was, but as a father, I would stay home with my children, you know, and not worry about the boss. I got the rule stance where a job is just a job and my family comes first, you know. But if you had your own business, you know, then you can call some of them shots and get that freedom that God has came. Jesus said, I've come to you to have life, once again, more abundantly. I don't believe hitting that clock is, once again, I'm not against job. Don't stone me, y'all. They're going to write you up, brother. They're going to write you like that guy.
Well, I'm going to tell you, there's liberty. The Lord is that spirit. And there's so much liberty. And when I say liberty, I'm talking about financial freedom just over the airways from listening to you, too. And Phil, you hit on something about the vineyard. In the book of the Song of Solomon, she said, others' vineyards I have kept, but my own vineyards I have not kept. what she was in is I looked at the other people's yard and tended to other people's business, but my own business, my own areas, I've not taken care of. And I think, not saying that we become selfish, but that it does have to, we do have to get to a place of a sense of self where we say, you know what, I got to dig in and settle in right here and build a platform here. I got to sit here and build something special so that other people can come and have a seat at the table and that we all can eat, you know? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's my two cents. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, it's very powerful because you two are movers and shakers. And I respect your grind. I respect how you go about your business and doing. And you, Minister Stafford, trying to help other people and always out there on the scene. And sometimes people are not grateful, but I know the Lord is your reward. And you feel, you stay with, you remind me of the miner. With the light on his hard hat, and his pick, and you digging for gold, and you gonna strike it, brother. And when you strike it, I'm gonna be right there with you. You gonna say, I found gold. No, we found gold. I'm gonna get French on you. I'm gonna say we.
Hey, well, you still speaking to me after 20 years? You deserve it.
We can go back like Cadillac. Listen, as we close tonight, I want to know what thoughts, ideas, or rationale do you use to recenter yourself when you feel off course or experience setbacks? And I want you to use that to speak to someone out there who's listening tonight who may have enjoyed the conversation and they feel the goosebumps and, you know, they got the warm fuzzies. But use that as a means to tell them, hey, it's time for you to get up and go do it. You know, how do you recenter yourself? How do you come back from a setback? And how do you focus? I'm going to start with you, Molly, Ms. Stafford, Minister.
Okay. All right. I tell you, when I lose my way.
We got about 6 minutes, so you go ahead.
Okay. When I lose my way or feel like I have lost balance, I recenter myself. I gather myself, and there's a song that I like to sing. I got to get myself together because I got somewhere to go. So what I do is I go back to the vision, go back to my life, go back to the who, the what, the why, and then I'll automatically know the how. So for me, I go back to my foundation. I go back to love. I go back to God, and there's another song I love to sing is that I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Jesus, and, you know, and myself within me. I will know when I'm going too far to the left or too far to the right, when I'm not sleeping enough, I'm not eating the right things, I'm not exercising like I need to, when I don't have that balance in life. Not so much as just going to church, but being the church, you know. And then spending too much time at work and not enough time with the family, missing that quality time. Because for me, it's almost like you know how you get the IV? When I'm not with my family, my family is my foundation, and it's my compass. So when I feel off course, I go and I spend time with my family, and that reminds me of my purpose and sets me back on track because that's where I originated from. And I like to go around, go to my old neighborhoods, you know, and take a look at things. And I remember not too long ago, I'm going to wrap it up right quick, my daughter was about to make a decision that I wasn't in agreement with about where she was going to live with her children, and I didn't say anything. All I did was posted a picture on Facebook of the house that she grew up in. And when I posted that picture of the house she grew up in, I put the name of the subdivision, I put the pool, I put the tennis court, I put everything. And it was so ironic. The next thing I saw after one other person said, "That looks familiar," bing, here comes my daughter say, "Ah, that's where I need to be. That's what my children need to be. You know, that's where they need to be." So, you know, a lot of times when you go back, that setback is a setup for a spring back. You know, and then so once you, you know, get back to where you originated from, get back to focusing on what God called you to. And don't be so hard on yourself. Don't forget, do not be so hard on yourself. We all need a Savior. If we could save ourselves, then Jesus would not have had to come. We all need a Savior. We're going to miss the mark, but great grace. So go back to the original. Who, what, when, why, and then you'll know how. Write the vision and make it plain and watch God do the work, because after all, it's all about Him, and He'll work through you. That's it.
Wow.
Man of God.
All right. So we in the Lions, then. We just like to thank you.
All right. Amen.
Well, so I guess for me is solitude. Get away from everything, get to myself, get quiet. So, yeah, I can hear instructions, and I can hear from God and allow God to speak to me and just get away from the noise, get away from the crowd, and just get in that quiet place. You know, I can get busy, I can get active. I like being busy, I like being active. But then when you know things aren't where they're going, time to back up from everything and everybody, and I just like quiet. Mm-hmm. Get in that quiet place and just hear Him speak and give the instructions and then realign, set it back up, move forward.
And keep it moving, right?
And keep it moving.
Keep it moving in Him. That's all you can do.
All we can do.
Miss Margie, take a licking and keep on ticking.
Wonderful, wonderful. It was a pleasure. For you, young lady. You did awesome.
You did an awesome job, too. Thank you so much. It was great being on the air with you.
Yeah, it really was. Had a good time. Appreciate you.